grace to you, and peace. Amen. Once again, God's people have lost their way. Or more specifically, the latest ruler who has come along has now led the people away from God. Is it any wonder that God was so resistant at first to anointing any king at all? I would suspect that by the time Ahab takes power and Jezebel appears on the scene, God might be harboring some serious regrets. The kingdom that had become united under David and Solomon, well, that kingdom has now split and fractured once more. Ahab rules the northern kingdom of Samaria. And to form alliances with the powers to the north, he marries Jezebel, a princess of Assyria. Jezebel introduces Ahab to the practice of worshiping Baal, a god of storms and fertility. In short order, Ahab and Jezebel replace Israel's religion and, as a result, replace its very identity. The text tells us that all the altars to Yahweh have been torn down and the entire religious structure has been supplanted by priests and priestesses tending to the worship of Baal and his consort Asherah. Now, the choir was a better crowd of prophets and prophetesses earlier, so thank you, Corey and Milt, for standing in this morning. 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah are said to be eating at Jezebel's table, meaning that they're supported by the royal household. Food, housing, clothing, status, power, all come from their generous benefactors in exchange for their loyalties to another god. The people are left with little choice, too. The king declares, "Worship Baal and forget about Yahweh." What's a poor subject to do? Or maybe, what does it really matter? If the king and queen want them to worship this other god, who are they to do anything but be obedient? But there is one lone voice that speaks up, Elijah, who cannot forget the God that made a covenant with Sarah and Abraham, who delivered the people out of slavery in Egypt, who brought them back to the promised land. And Elijah speaks up. That, after all, is what prophets do. And this contest at Mount Carmel that Elijah sets up isn't crafted to convince Ahab or Jezebel that they're wrong, though they clearly are. And this contest isn't primarily about shaming the false prophets of Baal and pulling back the curtain on their religious order. This contest is created to get the attention of the people, the ones who have been forced into complacency, the ones who have been thinking, what does it really matter? This contest is crafted to make the people remember. Think of the lone voices that have spoken up in this world. Schooled as a lawyer in colonial India, Mahatma Gandhi spoke up and helped an entire country remember their identity. A Baptist preacher, inspired by the truths he read in the Bible, Martin Luther King Jr., spoke up, and people remembered that only love can drive out hate. And now, a young Swedish girl who should be studying in high school but went on strike to protest the inaction of her government with respect to climate change. Greta Thunberg is speaking up and inspiring a global movement that is helping the world to remember we are one interconnected planet. I've been thinking this week about the variety of false gods that I've allowed to have power in my own life over the years. The power that I once gave to my classmates to define what was cool and what wasn't. The power I gave to the temptations and flirtations of a social status built around the hollow definition of success. The power I continue to give to the shallow importance of celebrity and fame. The power I certainly give to the digital world, filled with commentators and contributors who are more clever than I am, who are more in touch with reality than I am, who must be smarter than I am. How about you? What false god might have ruled your life in the past? What false god might be ruling your life today? Who or what have you assigned some sort of preeminence? Who or what holds some kind of unhealthy control over your desires or your actions? Maybe it's the power that you have abdicated to the belief that you're not good enough, or worthy enough, or faithful enough to warrant the love of another. I think maybe that's the most insidious of all the false gods, living with the uncertainty that you are somehow unlovable, and that your past mistakes, your past behavior, simply your past, might now be the only thing that defines your future. It's into this uncertainty that Elijah speaks up. Remember. Remember, you belong to God. Remember, because you are God's, you are loved. What Elijah's contest on Mount Carmel proved was that Ahab and Jezebel's Baal existed only in the belief system manufactured by a bunch of people trading in a false narrative that should already have been obvious. The God of storms couldn't even bring rain to a drought-stricken land. The only real power that Baal was given to Baal in what the people believed. But our God doesn't exist in our beliefs. And God doesn't disappear when we stop believing. The God of Sarah and Abraham, the God of Jacob and Joseph and Moses, the God of David and Solomon, and yes, the God of Ahab, this is the God that has not broken the promise, and this is the God who has not gone away. Today, the prophets are speaking. Are you listening? There are truths that exist outside of ourselves, and we cannot forget. The creation that we have been placed within needs your participation. Your charge is not to wonder, does any of this matter? Your charge is to remember. Remember, you belong to God. Remember, because you are God's, you are loved. And this is the only real power you will need in your life. And people who remember that they are loved have their own power to respond to the rest of the world that God loves also. People who remember they are loved stand with their neighbors of color, their neighbors who are hungry, their neighbors who need allies, their neighbors who need the world to change. This is my prayer for you today, Prince of Peace. Remember. Remember you belong to God. Remember, because you are God's, you are loved. Thanks be to that God. Amen.